Good evening. Good to see each one of you here tonight. Let's stand together, please. Turn to page 236 with me. Page number 236. Aren't you thankful that whosoever will may come and that salvation is for all? Page 236. Let's sing all three verses as we begin our service together this evening. On that first verse, whosoever heareth, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, 'tis life forevermore. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come.
Amen. Sure like that song and sure thankful for that promise. Amen. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, glad you're here tonight. The oasis in the desert or a warm spot in a cold land. Amen. I don't know. So however you want to put it, but thankful today that sun was sure shining, and what a blessing. And then we get to have church tonight. God sure is good to us. Amen. I'm sure glad you're here. Glad to have those tuning in live stream tonight as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Ask God's blessing on the services. Brother Gary Waters, would you pray for us tonight? Amen. You may be seated tonight. Do have quite a few announcements. Of course, this begins the month of March, and so we do have some things coming up here very quickly in this month, as well as in April, that we do need to make sure that we plan for this month as well. And so I wanted to mention some things tonight. Of course, if you do have kids in the Faith Baptist School, there is a field trip scheduled for this Friday, and that's still on the docket. And so make sure that parents, that you are aware of that. And then, of course, this coming Sunday, looking forward to hosting Brother Robert Collison and his family. They are church planters to Ogallala, Nebraska. And so praise the Lord for that. Of course, they went to here to our Christian school and to our church. Were sent out, went to Heartland Baptist Bible College, and they've been serving the Lord up there at Bible Baptist Church in Glenwood, Iowa, under Brother Ben Quinlan. And of course, they're sent out of that church, and so we already support them, but looking forward to having them here. They're going to present and just update us on what the Lord's been doing there in Ogallala. And then, of course, Brother Collison is going to be teaching Sunday school. We'll have a combined Sunday school class. All of our adult classes will be in here, as well as our teen class. And then, of course, in the Sunday night service, Brother Collison will be preaching in that as well. We still will have our Sunday morning series and continue on in the book of the Revelation. And so looking forward to a good day this coming Sunday. Also wanted to mention Saturday, March the 13th, we are going to be having our church-wide outreach that Saturday, and that'll be at 10:30 in the morning. And then, of course, one of the big events in the month of March, kind of kicks us off for the year, is the youth rally that we'll be hosting here at Faith Baptist Church, and that'll be on Friday, March the 19th. Be much in prayer for the Assurance Trio from Heartland Baptist Bible College. They are going to be here. Of course, that's one of my favorite groups because my daughter sings in it, if you didn't know that. So I have a little bit of a... Anyways, you know what I'm saying. We pray for Brother Ron Jones. He's going to be here with us, and he's going to be preaching in the service. And so with that in mind, I did want to also mention this, that out in the outer foyer there, on the table, there is a sign-up sheet. If you would like to help out, we do need things like small bags of chips, cookies, and then, of course, drinks. We need sodas and waters and things like that. And so, again, there's some sign-up sheets out there in the outer foyer. If you would like to help with that, you can sign up and be a part of that. But do be much in prayer for that. Of course, then that following Sunday, March the 21st, we're going to have Brother Ron Jones here with us all day that day. And so he's going to be preaching in the Sunday morning and Sunday evening service. We'll also have the Assurance Trio as well for the morning part, and so looking forward to that. March the 28th, which is the last Sunday of the month, will be the adult linger longer. And then March 31st through the April the 2nd begins our Easter break there for our school. I wanted to announce this tonight. March the 30th, which is the Tuesday just before Easter Sunday, we will be gathering together as a church body and observing the Lord's Supper. And so that is, again, that's Tuesday, March the 30th. And so if you are a member in good standing of Faith Baptist Church, we certainly want to encourage you to be here for that. We do not open it up to just anyone, because that's not what the Bible teaches. It is about a church body gathering together and examining ourselves, where we stand with the Lord, but also where we stand with one another. I realize that there are a lot of our folks that are in the process of getting vaccinations and things like that. And so do want to encourage them, if they're still tuning in online, to make sure that they get that done. You got 4 or 5 weeks, I believe it is, until then. And so do that so that you can be here to observe the Lord's Supper. And so just wanted to mention that tonight. One more thing as well. Of course, do pray for our missions conference coming up April the 21st through the 25th. But also April the 16th and 17th, there is a ladies retreat at Riverside Baptist Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. Our ladies are going to be going to that this year, but you do need to sign up. And again, there's a sign-up sheet out in the outer foyer. You do need to sign up by March the 20th, and then your money will be due by April the 3rd. The cost is $35 per lady, plus the cost of the hotel and stuff like that. So again, there's information out there in the outer foyer regarding that. And if you have a whole bunch of questions on that, don't come and ask me. Go see my wife, because I'm not going to the ladies' retreat. Amen. All right. All right. Let's go ahead and get our prayer list out tonight. And I'm sure my wife will thank me for that later. Amen. If you have your prayer list tonight, I do want to just update you on a few things here very, very quickly. Of course, our men know about this. I mentioned this in men's prayer Sunday, and then, of course, our men's prayer breakfast on Saturday. But do pray for our missionary family, Brother Garland and Miss Charlene Hamilton, longtime missionaries there in Mexico. Miss Charlene had been battling Alzheimer's for several years and went home to be with the Lord last Thursday. And so pray for Brother Garland Hamilton and his family. We made sure to get them on the prayer list, and do be much in prayer for them. Also wanted to ask, too, if we would make it a point to pray for Miss Cindy Metzinger. That is Brother Kevin Metzinger's wife, pastor's wife up there in Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple, and just faithful, faithful folks. And Miss Cindy Metzinger had a tumor on her kidney. They went in, got it, and had great reports, got all the tumor, and it was a blessing. But then had some scans done last week and found out that she's had another tumor now in one of her lungs. And so it has been spreading. And so just pray for them. I believe they're going to be pursuing the immunotherapy and stuff like that. And they did say it was like 3 to 5 years and the possibility of being completely cured from it. And so just pray for that situation. Pray what the Lord would sure give wisdom and grace as they go through that. Of course, continue to pray for Miss Virginia Potts as well as she recovers from heart surgery. And then also wanted to mention this tonight, Miss Penny Maxey. Has her brother on our prayer list, Morgan Moore, with prostate cancer. And she reached out to me this week and asked if we would just make it a point to especially pray for him. He did go to the oncologist, and they did say that he could do treatment and things like that, but it would only be giving maybe a couple of years. And so he declined the treatment. And so with that, he only has about a year to live. And so just want to ask if we would make it a point to pray for him. Of course, continue to pray for this COVID stuff and our folks that are getting the vaccines and things like that. And Lord willing, we'll start seeing some old familiar faces coming in. Amen. And so that'll be a real blessing. Anybody have a prayer request or an update tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer? Brother Matt Whitney. Really? Well, praise the Lord. All right, let's pray for the Whitney family and their house. And house to sell. And then pray as they possibly are moving this away, right? And that'll be a real blessing. So, awesome stuff. Amen. I love it when a family finds a good church and moves closer rather than further away. Amen. And so that's a real blessing. Anybody else have a prayer request tonight, Brother Roy? Amen. 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 I feel like I need to look for a house, man. I don't know. All these people. That's awesome, brother. That's awesome. So pray for the McRae's. Of course, their house is for sale there in Tennessee. It's on our prayer list. And so good news on that, getting some repairs done. And Lord willing, that'll be up on the market and getting some offers in. And so glory, hallelujah. Amen. That's awesome. Miss Beth? Okay. Okay. Mhm. Sure. Ah. All right. Yeah. Sure. All right. Okay. Oh, my mercy. All right. So let's pray for Jason Burgess. That's Miss Beth's brother. And let's pray for a job for him in a difficult situation there. Absolutely. Anybody else tonight? Miss Melanie Edler. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. So we got Jenner Laraway's dad, and then Shirley, what was the last name? Olfig? Olsig. Okay. Okay. All right. So we'll make sure to get those on the prayer list. And I may talk to you later about spelling clarification. Amen. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update or anything like that? Brother Gary? Okay, so let's pray for Mitch that passed out. All right, Mercy. That ain't good. Okay. All right, Mercy. That's awfully young. All right, anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update? All right, let's go ahead and have our men come tonight. We'll sure do just want to encourage you tonight. Continue to keep up with your prayer list and pray. And it's been a blessing to see God give grace through a lot of things this year. Amen. And so let's pray tonight. Brother Raymer, man, you got a haircut. You look sharp tonight, man. Amen. That's a blessing. Brother Raymer, would you pray for us, brother? Good to see you tonight, brother. Amen. Amen.
Most recent letter from Miss Rebecca Pope, our medical missionary there throughout the world, really. She says, the new year started very early on January 1st with a 4 a.m. run to the airport for a flight to El Salvador. Turning the page from 2020 to 2021 with a mission trip was a good gift from the Father of Lights. And the cherry on top was having a young black man approach me at the airport to ask if I am a believer. He, too, is a Christian, and we had a short but joyful time of fellowship, which ended with him asking if he could give me a hug. I hugged this brother in Christ and thought only Christ can bring together total opposites in gender, age, and ethnicity. Christ is the answer to what troubles our nation. While I do not typically enjoy all the steps of going through security, boarding a plane, etc., nor the added dimension of wearing a mask almost continuously for a week in 90-plus degree heat and humidity, I will admit a sense of elation to be back at it, and I had the last-minute blessing of a friend from Colorado joining our team. There were also COVID challenges that needed to be navigated, including our team leader, his wife, and our medical doctor not being able to travel because they had all tested positive 3 days before departure. That caused a bit of a scramble, but our host pastor and church were completely prepared to help in every way. Truly, I could not have asked for the mission to have gone more smoothly. As co-laborers with Iglesia Bautista Tabernaculo, we were able to support 5 different churches in the Great Commission, and approximately 200 people made professions of faith. Later in the month of January, the Lord answered many, many prayers. The Rurik Surgical Center in Honduras was finally able to open, and the surgical team completed 18 cases during their week-long mission. The local church is eager to follow up and build relationships with each of these patients. knowing a lot of the behind-the-scenes work that went into the design, building, restructuring, supplying, etc., and having spent weeks in preparation myself at the center, it was exhilarating to see the fruit of so much prayer and labor. Lord willing, three more surgical teams will be going to Honduras this year. One of the needs identified during this mission is the need for biomedical technicians. Please pray for the Lord to fill that need. With disappointment, the Philippines mission in March has had to be canceled. The COVID restrictions to get into the country do not allow for a medical brigade at this time. Please pray with us that the remainder of the trip scheduled this year can be fulfilled. By His grace, Becky Pope. So, certainly thankful for that update. Good news, she's able to get back to traveling and all that goes on there. I'm going to ask you, Brother Seth Wisdom, would you pray for Ms. Pope as well as our other missionaries?
Let's all stand together one last time, please. Turn to page 440. Page 440, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. We'll sing the first, the third, and the last verse tonight. Page 440.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide. A shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. Safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be Thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Amen. Please remain standing. Get your Bibles ready for the message tonight.
Thank you, brother. What a blessing. He is definitely a rock in a weary land. Amen. And a shelter in the time of storm. Well, glad you're here tonight. I want to invite you to the book of Acts tonight, chapter number 14. The book of Acts and chapter number 14. And, of course, tonight we are going to conclude what we would call the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And, of course, Barnabas there with him. It started out Barnabas and Saul. And really now it's become Paul and Barnabas. Amen. And so Acts chapter number 14 tonight. And we know this, that it started in chapter 13 with the Holy Ghost saying, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them." And so notice what happens here. We'll pick up in verse number 21. It says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city," talking about Derbe in the previous verse there, it says, "and it taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." And of course, he was talking about the stoning that he had just endured in the previous verses. But notice verse 23, it says, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church." Now that tells you what all was going on, doesn't it? In every one of these cities, people getting saved, getting baptized, the church being established. Well, now they got a preacher. And it says, "And had prayed and with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." And after that, after they had passed through out Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Now that's their home church right there. See? "And when they were come, they had gathered the church together." They had a slideshow. Then played the DVD. Oh, no, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. Now, aren't you thankful, though, for technology today that we can put a face with a name now and we can see those things? It says they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So they had about a year furlough, all right? That's kind of the idea there. Now, so this is what we're going to look at. Now, just want to kind of catch you up here. The last time we were in our study in the book of Acts, we saw where the Apostle Paul was stoned in the previous verses. And so we saw, as the Lord allowed him to live through that, we saw his reaction to it. We know this, he didn't quit. Amen. He kept going on for the grace of God and preaching the gospel of Christ. And this is where you and I pick up at tonight. Now, here's the idea. Paul and Barnabas would backtrack through all of those cities where they had preached the gospel and seen people saved. What they're going to do now is they're going to make disciples out of them. They're going to ordain preachers. And then they are going to turn each individual church over to the Lord, because that's who we belong to. That's who we serve. And then they are going to go back to their home church in Antioch. And they are going to, what I would say is this, they're going to rejoice over what God has done. Now that, my friend, is missions in a nutshell. And that's what it's all. I titled the message tonight this, "The Great Commission Comes to Life." Because really, that's what it is, isn't it? I mean, this is exactly what Jesus Christ had in His heart and mind when He would give the Great Commission at the end of the Gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and even at the beginning of the book of Acts. You and I must understand tonight, this is not Paul's plan, this is Christ's plan. This is what God had in store. And by the way, it's still the plan that should be followed today by missionaries and churches just like Faith Baptist Church. You want to know simply what the application is for us tonight? Let's just be faithful to the plan. And let's be involved in it. And boy, just an encouraging message. I love stuff like this. I really do. Stuff like this is not preached in churches today when really it ought to be. That you and I would see church doctrine and missions come to life in the Word of God. Father, thank You tonight. Just pray that You would bless the preaching tonight. And just, God, again, I'm so thankful for our study through the book of Acts. We have certainly have opportunity, even as we do tonight, to teach on church doctrine and Baptist history and all of those things. But Lord, thank You that It just seems like almost every message just encourages us to keep holding fast to the Word of God and the faith once delivered unto the saints. And so, Lord God, again, You know where every one of us are at tonight. Just want to ask that You would encourage us again. Help us again. I pray tonight that every person under the sound of My voice, whether it be in this building here or even listening, tuning in online, I pray that every person knows Christ as their Savior. And then, Lord God, as we do, that we would submit ourselves to You and to obedience to the Word of God, because, Lord God, that's where the blessings are at. Would You help us tonight in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated tonight. When I was pastoring in Bible Baptist Church there in Cassville, Missouri, we had the privilege of supporting longtime missionaries, Randy and Phyllis Steerwalt, to Kenya, Africa. They had been on the field for some 30 years by this time, and they were actually home on furlough, and I want to say this was around 2013 or 14 or 15, somewhere in that area. That all of those years just seem like a blur. I go from 2020 to 1990. That's how I skip all of that's like a blur to me. Anyways, it was somewhere in there, and we had them come by and report. Now, if you've maybe heard of the Steerwalts, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but I just want to tell you tonight, they were faithful people. Really were. Brother Steerwalt has, of course, since then has gone on to home to be with the Lord after a battle with cancer. It just happened a few years ago. In fact, I found out about it after I had become the pastor here at Faith. But even while they were in Kenya, they went through some battles of their own. Every time they had elections in Kenya, there was a tremendous amount of violence. There would be riots that would take place, and crime would get out of hand. I got to be honest with you, it's kind of starting to sound like our elections in our day and time, especially it seems like when a conservative has become president. And I'm not trying to be political tonight, but I am trying to be truthful. Just kind of reminds you as to what the things that go on behind the scenes here. And I'm not, but anyways, I better move on before I get in trouble. Brother Steerwalt, in the process of that, he was robbed on several occasions. He was beaten on several occasions, but he just went through a lot of difficulties, but he stayed by the stuff. He didn't come off the field. He stuck with it, kept preaching the gospel, kept training men and all of these things. Now, here's what they did in Kenya. They started planting churches throughout the villages there. As God would call men to preach, they set up a Bible college where Brother Steerwalt would then begin to train men. As men were trained, they would send them out to wherever God would call them. Oftentimes, it was back to their home village because those men were so burdened for their people to hear the gospel and to have a Bible-believing Baptist church. And so, you understand, this would continue throughout the country of Kenya. It would even spread across the border into the neighboring country of Uganda. And this would go on for 30-something years throughout their ministry. While he was reporting there in Cassville on their ministry, he had mentioned about that he and Miss Phyllis, we were having lunch with them. And he had mentioned about how, you know, they weren't very big on numbers and things like that. And so they've kind of lost track over the years. And so it was getting to their golden years of their ministry. And so they just wanted to go back and not deprive themselves, but just to see what all the Lord had done. And so they wanted to kind of see and just to check in with some of their men and men that had been called to preach and churches and things like that. So they wanted to kind of get a count of how many churches and things like that. And I want you to listen to this tonight. He said this. He said, thus far. Now, this was back in 2014-15, somewhere around it. He said, thus far, they were close to accounting for some 300 churches being planted. And he said this. He said, in fact, he said, we asked our men to count just to give a tally of their average attendance on Sunday morning. And he said, It was somewhere of the neighborhood of 40,000 people attending those churches on Sunday morning. Now that's incredible. Somebody say amen tonight. But then he goes on to say this, and I want you to listen to this. He said, after being on furlough in the States and, you know, giving this report as we would report to churches and things like that, he said he had several missionaries, pastors come up, and they would say things like this, Brother Steerwalt, what is your secret? And you know what Brother Steerwalt would say? He'd say this, faithfulness. It's no magic formula. In essence, what he was trying to get across to those men is this, God's plan still works. It still works. It just simply needs to be carried out by His men. And you understand that's really the intent of our passage tonight as you and I look here as Paul and Barnabas would close out what we would call the first missionary journey. Now, certainly we know this tonight, that the plan doesn't need to be changed. We understand that. Listen to me tonight. We do not need to send out letters to our community tonight asking them what they want in a church and then try to entertain men on every level. I'm just telling you tonight, if you do that and you get a crowd gathered together, that's all you're going to have in essence, is a crowd gathered together. It will not be a church that belongs to Jesus Christ. You understand that tonight? And what I want to say to you tonight is this, besides all of that, when the gospel of Jesus Christ and what He done for us on the cross of Calvary for our sin, when that ceases to no longer be enough for people to be faithful and to come to church and to tune into the Word of God and grow in their faith, then my friend, you have something far bigger at hand on your case. You got bigger problems than that. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Entertainment is not the answer. People need to be saved. People need spiritually to be revived and to get right with God. And listen, I'm telling you, in the gospel of Christ and what He done for us, that should be enough. That should be sufficient enough for us to surrender ourselves and submit ourselves to God and to His Word and to live for Him. Doesn't need to be changed. It just needs to be carried out, doesn't it? It just, listen, Faith Baptist Church, that's what you and I should be doing tonight. And listen, we understand tonight that we don't need to be worried about building an empire, but rather we need to be worried about being involved in His kingdom. And I want you to understand my heart tonight. Yes, I desire to see people saved. I desire to see God build His church and for it to grow. Maybe even to the point that we build a bigger building. Already picked a spot out on for right there in the front yard. Amen. And listen, I'm all for that. And I desire more bus routes. I desire to see our Christian school grow. I desire to see our Faith Promise grow. Listen, I could sit here all night and talk about the things that in my heart that I look around and think about and the Sunday school classes and all of those things to expand. But at the same time, I also desire that we would keep and maintain a biblical view of missions and church planting and to see us send the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And to go out and to reach out, whether that be sending men to the mission field or, listen, planting a church out of this one. Son, glory, hallelujah. My pastor used to say this, and I have said this for years as well, and the reason is because of a biblical view of missions and church planting in the Scriptures. And I want you to listen to this tonight. You're going to hear me say this a lot, probably throughout the book of Acts. But you understand tonight that the kingdom of God is far bigger than Faith Baptist Church. But at the same time, Faith Baptist Church can have an impact on the kingdom of God. And really, listen, and I'm telling you, that's in essence, that's what our message is about tonight. If we'll just follow the plan that God has in His Word, just like Paul and Barnabas did, and conclude right here. Now, we know this tonight, folks. It starts with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I listen, we saw the message. You go back to Acts chapter number 14 there, and we saw the message that Paul preached in the synagogue there in Antioch of Pisidia. Not Antioch, their sending church area, but this was another Antioch, and so we saw all of that. And I'm not going to go back tonight and review all of that and look at all of that, because we know this: the same gospel that Christ preached and that His apostles preached, that is the same gospel that we are to preach. And it is, listen, we understand that man today is saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is not about some works that we do. It is not about achieving our own righteousness. No, my friend, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is nothing that you and I can do tonight to earn our eternal life. It has already been done for us on the cross of Calvary. What you and I must do is humble ourselves and to turn from our works and to turn from our sin and put our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. That is how a man is saved. And we understand that tonight. But in each of these cities, you understand that these group of believers that have now been saved by grace through faith, that in essence, they would become the churches of Galatia. And you know, we have the book of Galatians. Well, that's the epistle that was written to these churches in Galatia. That's what we're dealing with tonight. And so how did Paul and how did all of that come about? Well, that's what you and I see in our text tonight. No doubt it starts with the gospel, but then it continues on. And that's what I want us to see here. Look at verses 21 and 22. It says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city," talking about Derbe, "and it taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch." And notice this: "confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." And so number one tonight, they would begin to confirm the disciples right there. Now again, I realize we've looked at these two verses last week as we saw the example of Paul after the stoning. We know that here he's using his own example to encourage these believers. Hey, listen, you're going to suffer like I have suffered, but you understand that's like our Savior suffered for us. And so we need to be faithful. And that's what he's dealing with there. But let's also not forget that this was following the plan that Christ gave in the Great Commission. Well, one, here's what he said: teach all nations. That's preaching the gospel. But then he would go on to say this, friend: to two, make disciples. Well, how do you do that? Well, by baptizing them and then teaching them all things whatsoever he has commanded us. And that's exactly what is taking place here. The word confirming means to strengthen. And the word exhorting is the idea of building up. And he'd done this through the preaching of God's Word and encouraging them to follow the commandments of Jesus Christ. Now, preacher, how do you know that? Well, we could go to places tonight like 1 Timothy. And when Paul would send young Timothy out there, here's what he would say: Timothy, preach the Word. Establish sound doctrine. Well, why? Because that's what every church needs if they're going to be disciples and grow in their faith. You understand, we could go to places like that, but the truth of the matter is, that's still the way that you strengthen and build up God's people today. You preach the Word, my friend. If you want healthy believers who will stay faithful and follow Christ, then give them healthy, or what the Bible calls, sound doctrine from the Word of God. I'm just telling you tonight, it's not just the preacher that needs to know what he believes and why he believes it. It's you that needs to know what you believe and why you believe it as well. Well, why? Because it's not just me that's in the spiritual battle. You too are as well. So how are we going to learn all these things? By preaching the Word of God. Giving out the Word of God. It's why there's such a shallow Christianity in our day and time, isn't it? It's because we've neglected the Word of God. We've turned to things like entertainment. Men are scared today to preach doctrine and to take a stand on things in fear of might offending somebody. But the truth of the matter is, this is what you and I need. I'm telling you, listen to me, you can't live off the milk of the Word. You got to move on to the meat. And I want to say this to you tonight. I would rather have someone offended over me giving them the truth versus being offended over me not giving them the truth. Because people are going to be people anyways. We might as well just stick with the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. I know I've shared this testimony many times, but when God called me to preach and I went to Bible college and we started attending church there at Berean Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. For the most part, I was in my late 20s and I had grown in my faith and I had preached some and I had taught Sunday school class and I understood some Baptist history and where I stood on some things. And so I knew some things and where I stood and all of that stuff. But what I loved about being in Berean Baptist Church is that Pastor Abels would say this, "Now this is what we believe." And I'd go, "Yeah, that's right." But then he'd go, "Now take your Bibles and turn here." And we'd go to the Scripture and he'd go, "Now here's why we believe what we believe." And he would read the passage and I'd go, "Whoa." And now, and we were usually sitting on about the second or third row right here. And so, see, kind of, we're just creatures of habit, aren't we? We still sit right here. And I'd just be sitting there, and I'd look at my Bible, and then Natalie would be sitting next to me, and I'd lean over at her, and I'd do what you're not supposed to do in church, like start talking to people in church. Hey, did you see that? And she'd go, "Yeah, be quiet." Because it was awesome. And people don't do that today. And you understand, friend, I'm telling you, that's... In essence, that's what Paul is doing here when he's going back. And you understand, friend? I mean, when you start dealing with doctrine and the things from the Word of God, and you start showing them from the Scriptures that this is why we believe these things, this is why we're doing these things, and you see those things as a child of God, doesn't it confirm some things? And doesn't it exhort or build you up in your faith because you know what you believe and why you believe it? I mean, think about all the things. No. These folks have been saved. But think of the things that must take place in their life. They need to get baptized. That's the next step. And you say, "Well, how is Paul going to deal with that?" Well, don't you know he's going to bring up Christ? Because wasn't it Christ who got baptized and we should follow His example? Wasn't it Christ that commanded them to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? And so Paul is going to say, this is what our Savior did. And this is what we're to do. He commanded us to do. This is what Peter preached and on the day of Pentecost. This is what makes you a member of one of the Lord's churches that needs to be established in this area. And so do this and submit to this. And they'd go, "All right, I'm saved and this is what I want to do. I want to publicly proclaim that I've been saved by Christ and I want to follow Him and be a part of one of His churches." And that's exactly what would happen. And don't you know that they would, listen, it didn't just stop there, okay? Didn't just stop, "Well, I got baptized, so I guess I'm going to go back and do whatever I want to do." No, it didn't stop there. They kept going and they would begin to grow in their faith and they needed to learn something. They needed to learn that to separate from the world and unto Christ and begin to follow Him. Well, come on, there were some Jews that had been saved and needed to have their attitude changed. Had all this spiritual pride. But that's not our Savior because He's meek and lowly at heart. See? And then you had all these Gentiles that, boy, they love their idolatry. No, we're not going to live for those things. Those aren't gods. We're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let go of all that stuff. Let's follow the Lord. Let's live for Him. Hey, let's have it. Now that you've been saved, you've got His Spirit living within you. Holy Spirit. Submit yourself unto Him. Oh, come on, read the book of Galatians, my friend. That's basically about the whole book. It's getting back to a Spirit-led, Spirit-submitted life so that you can bear the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Is anybody getting this? And so Paul would, you understand, that's confirming, that's exhorting one another, that's helping people grow in their faith, learning what they believe. Listen, learning learning the gospel and learning where to stand on the Lord's Supper. Why? So you don't get into doctrinal error. And you can stay true to the Scriptures. You understand? I mean, listen, I'm telling you, no doubt he's doing all of these things, man. And you understand, that's what we're to be doing today. It's to preach on these things. Listen to me tonight. Please don't let doctrine become old hat. Or even gospel old hat. I've heard all these things before. Yeah, but let's hear them again. So that we can be encouraged and strengthened and exhorted and confirmed in our faith. But here's the second thing. Look at verse number 23. Let's move on here tonight. Because not only do we see the confirming, but we see the commendation to the Lord. Look at what happens in verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now, I'm just telling you, this is where it gets gooder. See, because now you've got this group of believers within each city. All right, they're baptized, they're growing in their faith. Well, don't you understand that the next step is to take your hands off of them and give them to the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is where a local, visible assembly called a church is birthed and given to Jesus Christ. Why? Why is that? Well, because He's to be the head of it. He's to be the head of it. And that's really what's implied here. Let me give you a couple of things here very quickly. Certainly one of those would be this. Every church needs a pastor. Come on, this is what is meant by ordaining elders in every church. Oh, I like that. Church, it's right there. Ordaining elders in every church. You understand, these were men who fit the qualifications of a bishop according to 1 Timothy 3. And who were capable of spiritual leadership. And yes, I said men. And husbands of one wives and all of those things. The word elder is a biblical term for pastor. Along with words like bishop and pastor in the Bible. We don't use terms like elder and bishop today because of their association with false religion. But they're still good words given in the Bible that describe the responsibility of the man of God. Elder does not mean the pastor has to be old. And if you think he is, don't tell him that. Amen. Hopefully right now I'm just old to like small children and maybe young people. You're old. You know what it literally means though? It means ruler. And please catch this tonight. Nowhere in the Bible will you find something of a dictatorship. That's not what's implied here. What's implied is leadership. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If the man of God doesn't stand up and lead, somebody else will, and it won't be God's man, and that's dangerous. You understand? God's man must lead, and that's the idea. And the responsibility of God's man is to lead the people of God, not in the things that he desires, that would be dictatorship, but rather in following the example and commandments of Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do, my friend. And again, this is what I'm supposed to do today as pastor of Faith Baptist Church. That's one of my responsibilities. But here's the other thing, and I think that this is what's so vital, that every church here belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's meant by commending them unto the Lord. In other words, these churches were to be independent. And I'll go ahead and say Baptist churches. And they were to be autonomous, meaning self-governing. And the only authority that was to be over them was to be the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, because He's the head of the church. The Apostle Paul was not to be over them. Their sending church in Antioch did not rule over them. The church at Jerusalem did not rule over them. A larger church in the city next to them did not roll over them. Listen to me. This was not some denomination being established where some so-called mother church ruled over everyone else. And what she said to do, all the other churches were to do. No, my friend, That is not in the Scriptures. The apostles and early churches understood this. And by the way, Bible-believing Baptists understood this down through the ages. Listen to me tonight. We're not a denomination. Let me say that again. We are not a denomination. We do not have some hierarchy or some mother church or convention. No, my friend. But rather, we are a people that have clung to the Scriptures down through the ages. Now, some have veered off and done some strange things, but we're going to stick with the Word of God tonight, all right? And as we go forward, go with me. You're in Acts chapter 14. Just move over into the next chapter, and I want you to notice Acts chapter 15 and verse number 19. It says this. It says, "Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God." Now, I want you to listen to this. What's going to take place in the next chapter is that some Jews will come up from Jerusalem to Antioch, which is where Paul and Barnabas' ascending church is at, where they will end up at the end of this chapter. And they will come in and say this, that in order for men to be saved, they need to be circumcised. And I love what it says right after that. It says, after having no small disputation with them, meaning this, Paul and Barnabas had it out with them. Because that's false doctrine. But upon hearing that and understanding that these men came from Jerusalem, they would go back to the church at Jerusalem and they would meet with the other apostles to discuss this and to make sure that everything is on the right track here. And so you understand what's concluded in this meeting is this, is that men are saved by grace through faith. In fact, you're there in Acts chapter 15, look at verse 10 and 11. It says, "Now therefore," this is Peter talking, and he says, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they," talking about the Gentiles. Do you know this? Jews and Gentiles were saved the same way in the Bible, by grace through faith. But it's not of works, my friend. And so you understand, by the time we get to verse number 19, James, who is now the pastor of the church at Jerusalem after Christ, and then after Peter, well, he begins to write a response to the Gentile churches in regards to this subject. And the first thing that he says there in verse number 19 is he says, "Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them." Now, what does that mean? Essentially, what he's saying is this. Though the church at Jerusalem is the church that Christ started, and by which all others have their existence, we still do not have authority over them. But this is going to be our counsel, and this is what Christ said, and He's going to lay it out to them. Do you get? Listen to me. Why do I point? Here's why. Because every church is to be a body of believers in which Christ is the head. The Bible knows nothing. You understand? The Bible knows nothing of some universal, invisible thing that we're all part of. No, my friend, every local, visible assembly of baptized believers that are constituted together to carry out the Great Commission, that is a church in the Bible where Christ is to be the head of it. And the way that He is the head is when we stay with the Word of God. When you part from this, my friend, and you start following something else, well, now you've got a two-headed body. And anything with two heads is a monster. And you got issues. It's to be autonomous, meaning self-governing. And the only one who has the authority over it is Jesus Christ and His New Testament Word. Again, the Bible knows nothing of denominations. It knows nothing of having some religious headquarters that oversees all the churches, that appoints pastors and tells them what to preach and believe. It knows nothing of popes and cardinals and conventions and fellowships and ministerial alliances and all the like that churches cling to today. Are you getting what I'm saying to you tonight? Well, preacher, I mean, where do we... No. Our authority for faith and practice is right here. Right here. See, here's what the Bible's full of.
It's full of Christians reproducing themselves. Well, how do they do that? By witnessing to others. And you know what else it's full of? It's full of churches reproducing themselves. By sending out men to plant churches, whether that be here in the States or even in a foreign land. Somebody get what I'm saying tonight? That's the Great Commission. And that's what Christ said to them. Now that's awesome. Because see, listen, then what happens is this. You have the communication to their sending church. Look at what happens in verse 24. It says, "And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, came to Pamphylia where they had been already. They had preached in the word in Perga and Attalia. They thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles in their abode long time with the disciples." Man, one of the things that I love about this passage is that really it shows you and I the relationship that should exist between missionaries and their sending church. The sending church has the responsibility to hold the rope. That's what. Anytime you throw out a lifeline from the vessel, you got to hold the rope. Otherwise, you lose those that are sent out. You lose those that are supposed to be rescued. And the church at Antioch demonstrates that. As they sent Paul and Barnabas out into the darkness, they maintained their support at home. How did they do that? They were busy praying. They were busy sending supplies financially and physically. They were still busy preaching the gospel and making disciples where they were at. Because when a church ceases to do that, then my friends, sooner or later, will dry up and cease to exist. The point is, this is what we're to do as Faith Baptist Church. When it comes to missions and church planting, God's not called us to go, but He has called us to serve Him where we're at, and He's called others to go, and we can get behind them prayerfully and financially and hold the rope, so to speak. And yes, things do cost money, don't they? I mean, listen, it costs money to buy tracts. It costs money to rent a place to meet. Families have needs and burdens, just like your families have needs. I would encourage every one of you tonight. And I realize this COVID stuff, but once this stuff gets gone, when they have the Church Planters Conference at Heartland Baptist Bible College, you ought to go down there. And you ought to read some of the needs of some of those church planters and their families. It'll encourage you because the pioneering spirit of church planting is not dead. It's still very much alive. But yet at the same time, it'll break your heart with these families and the burdens that they have just trying to buy homeschool material to teach their kids, or maybe mom's got needs a medical need, or one of the kids, or something like that. And you understand they've got all these burdens and different things, and yet they're trying to go where God's called them to go. And what a blessing it is to get behind them. And I realize there are people that say things like, "Well, they just need to get a job and support their family." And I understand that, but think of the time that they would have on their hands to be able to do what God's called them to do if they'd have some financial support. And not just that, but listen, what a blessing to have fruit added to our account. But see, here's the other thing. The missionary sent has the responsibility to come back and report. I mean, you understand that this right here, and I know we jokingly say this, but this is the slideshow of all slideshows right here. I mean, can you imagine as they're, you know, reporting and Barnabas is probably, he's still healing up. Getting stoned. Rocks thrown at him, not drugs. Should clarify. Going through the slideshow on the DV on the screen there. Here was one of our first stops. The island of Paphos. There's Sergius Paulus. He was one of the chief men in the city. He got saved. Oh, there's Elymas the sorcerer. He was trying to mess us up. And then old Paul over there, he got fired up and made him blind. Click. Oh, there's Elymas running away. And he tripped and fell because he can't see anymore. It was great. Come on, I'd have that on my slideshow if that happened. Here's Paul preaching in Antioch in Pisidia. Fantastic message. Went all the way to King David and then showed how Jesus is the King of Kings. It was awesome. And then watch this. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came out to hear the gospel preached. We saw a lot of people get saved there. It was awesome. But you know what? Everything didn't go real good there because there was some trouble that kind of got stirred up. So here we went to Iconium. And then we went on to Lystra. Lystra, you got to see this. Instead of Paul making someone blind, he healed a crippled man there, though. He was pretty nice that day. We saw some people get saved. It was awesome. They almost worshipped us there in Lystra. And we had to tell them not to. Hey, there's a God in heaven and earth. Created all these things. Sent His Son to die for them. They need to worship Him. Anybody remember that? We had some trouble there after that. Paul got stoned. There he is. I took a picture while they were throwing rocks at him. I could see Baptist preachers doing that to one another. Yep, there he is. Yep, they thought he was dead and they left. Click. There we are standing over him thinking he was dead. Oh, there he is. He's awake though. He was all right. We got him back. Got him healed up. There's Paul eating some hospital food. He didn't like that. Click. Here's some of the preachers that surrendered. We got to have an ordination for them. Here's one of the Sunday services there at Antioch in Pisidia. Boy, it's a blessing. Here's some of the food we ate because Baptists like to eat. You get what I'm saying to you tonight? I know we're having fun and all that stuff with the Scriptures, but the truth of the matter is that's kind of what went on. Though they didn't have, you know, faces that they could see like we can today because of technology. But don't you know that Paul and Barnabas would spend a long time with that church in Antioch and talk about going out and doing what Christ said to do and how it worked? How it worked. And people got saved and started, they got baptized, started growing in their faith. And so now it's not just us, and now it's not just in Jerusalem, but we got churches in Lystra, and we got churches in Iconium. And you know, we got this church there in Derby too. There's a young guy I got my eye on. His name's Timothy. I'm watching him, praying for him. Pray for Timothy. I'm just telling you tonight. And I want to say to you tonight, it's so good to be in a Bible-believing Baptist church and to be involved in this. Amen. But you understand it's more than just writing a check.
Amen.
It's so much more than that. It's us being involved and us stepping out by faith and saying, you know what, it does work and it works here in Olathe too. And there are people here that need to be saved. And there are people here that need a good church home. But it's us that got to have the same faith as that missionary and that church planter to step out in our community to witness to our co-worker and our family member. What about you tonight? It still works. We just got to do it. We just got to do it. Let's all stand.